IKEA in Canton celebrated its 20th anniversary of being in Metro Detroit.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Look at that.
What is your relationship like with IKEA? I would think that there are a lot of people out there that have a love-hate relationship with IKEA.
A little bit more than a one-night stand. And I don't mean nightstand like, you know.
A nightstand.
The Ingemar. Yeah. You mean I mean.
The what?
Like the Ingemar. I mean, like, because they name all their,
right.
their furniture after Swedish names. I have purchased myself two chest of drawers, matching chest of drawers that I assembled mostly by myself the first one, but then I needed help. I tagged in, my buddy Grush helped me out, and the second one we put together in like 20 minutes or less. It was easy. And then the only other thing I think I've gotten from IKEA, it was ordered when I did a renovation in my bedroom bathroom area, and that was to get some stuff for the closet and then some stuff for the bedroom, which was just like pantries that were used that I used for in the closet to store away clothes, and then another chest of drawers of some kind. But I didn't assemble those. The contractors did. So I don't have a huge relationship other than my Swedish heritage.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, it's it.
We, when we first moved into our house, which is like 20 years ago now, we went to IKEA and bought some bedroom furniture and some storage stuff for like kids' toys. Storage stuff was great, and we still have it. It's solid as hell. The bedroom furniture, like we got this standing chest of drawers that also had two doors that could open up and you could hang clothes. It is a massive, massive piece. I put it together in a short 4.5 days. And it was frustrating as hell. It looked great. It looked fantastic. Eventually, one of the doors, which was this cool, tall, like 8-foot tall door that was real thin, that looked like it was smoked glass, and you had these little, you stuck on these strips that made it look like it was panels of glass, even though it was one big piece of glass.
Sure. Mullions, I think they're called.
Sure, whatever they are. The hinges on them broke, and I went back to IKEA to get another door, and they're like, yeah, we don't have those anymore. So we've got this thing with one door on and one door off, but we're too lazy to really do anything about it. We haven't purged and bought something to replace it. So we've got this weird looking thing in our room with one door gone and the other, we should probably just take the other door off and make it look like it's supposed to be doorless. And then we got this little dresser thing that like every 2 months I got to go tighten stuff and the drawers don't work.
Allen wrench your ass up.
Yeah, I got an Allen wrench like crazy.
Yeah. Need a full set of Allen wrenches.
Yep. And yet, in the store, all their stuff looks so cool.
It's all modern.
It all looks so cool.
Scandinavian design, minimalist type stuff, yeah.
What's, Kang, what's your relationship like with IKEA?
Oh, man, I have a deep, deep relationship with IKEA. My entire apartment when I first moved out was furnished by IKEA. And the prices look good.
Mm-hmm.
And the pictures look good in the catalog.
Sure.
But then you buy it. And I'm not saying it's terrible, okay? But I am saying it's not what exactly it looks like in the catalog. Mm-hmm. It's a lot smaller most of the time. I say the quality is about exactly what you paid for. That's why it is less expensive. So, like, for example, bar stools. Not like a bar stool at your local, you know, sports bar.
No.
Bar stool that probably has a limit on how much you want to put on that bar stool. Person, thing, or whatever.
I'm not sitting on your bar stool.
No, you don't want to sit on an IKEA bar stool, especially if I put it together, Gator, because it comes with Allen wrenches and pictures.
Yeah.
Not even words. It's just like pictures. Yeah. It's a stick, yep. Dude, trying to like go through steps of what you're supposed to. And I get it wrong every time, and this is a me problem, okay? User error, I got that. But I don't think they're helping me either, like as much as they think they are
when
with
you're
these
like,
instructions.
God, this stick dude's smarter than I am.
Yeah, like I'm
it's,
like.
It's discouraging.
And
yeah.
Then, Doug, when you're looking at the directions, like, are you always confused? Like, is that upside down? Is it the left side or is it the right side? Right? Is
100%.
It a mirror image? I have no, and I always end up picking the wrong one.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, now I've got to take it apart.
So how many times have you been to IKEA, Kang?
Probably less than 10 times.
I think I think for a young couple, it's awesome for entry level furniture.
Yes. I was like I said, when I moved down and got my apartment, I bought this coffee table, guys. I'm like, this is going to be a sweet coffee table. It looked like a table for a Japanese couple that only ate sushi. This thing was tiny. It was like doll furniture.
See, okay, so, but your experience, is it more ordering online or actually going to the store?
No, I went there. Okay. Both. I mean, you went there and you
saw it in person, then you got it and you realized it was smaller?
The coffee table I did not see in person because I would have never bought that thing. Okay. That thing was like children playing. But other stuff, first of all, you're in your early 20s. You're just buying stuff for your house.
Yeah, yeah.
Apartment. This looks so cool.
Exactly. I just look at it. I open it. I shut it. And I'm like, I'll buy it. I don't even examine enough. Beds? Don't jump on that bed.
No.
That's like literally for sleeping, and that's it.
Not other stuff? Yeah.
not vigorously.
What's that? Oh, did you go for the Homeford?
IKEA beds.
The Homeford's a good bed.
IKEA beds. Not for that.
Hey.
No, for a young couple, the stuff looks super cool.
If you can assemble it, I mean, and assemble it correctly, not just, I think I did an okay job. Like, if you did a bang-up job, the stuff's going to be fine.
Yep. Well, and the other thing about IKEA is you get in that store, you're looking at 90 minutes max.
Well, it's a labyrinth.
You get into the labyrinth, yeah, and you're like the mouse looking for the cheese. Like, where's the exit? How the hell do I get out of here?
Well, you have to go to point
B first. It is such a brilliant way to set up a store.
It's like walking around in a room with mirrors, you know, like you see in like a kung fu movie,
mm-hmm,
or a John Wick movie.
No.
And you're like, wait a minute, I just got here. Don't I just turn around and get out? No, I can't do that. What happened to that stairway? Where'd the escalator go?
I was like seeing little like places in the hallway where I could escape. And I was like the scene in Spinal Tap where I got back to the same janitor. I'm walking around yelling, "Hello, Cleveland." And then the guy who gave me directions, I see him again, and I still haven't found the door.
Right. I went to the Moonblum room.
Oh, yeah.
it's wild. I will say, though, that the two chest of drawers I have,
yeah,
they have been a fixture in both of the houses I've owned now. So I've had them for over 20 years.
That's awesome.
They've lasted.
Dude, we still got the stuff.
They've lasted longer than when you and I have been doing the show.
I've got this giant chest of drawers with one door gone, and it still looks cool, even though it's clearly only one door. I bet that really bothers the hell out of my wife, and she wants something done about it.
How long has this been like that?
About 6 years. Cliff and Lansing, you're on 97.1. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
So, I'm at Cabrera's 3,000 hit game with my then girlfriend, now wife. She imbibes on the way down there and is in the mood for eating, as you can understand when we get there. $100 later, worth of crap ballpark food, he gets the hit, and then she's just got to get out of there. She's freaking out. We end up at IKEA shopping for a desk. I will never go to IKEA again, ever, period.
Why? Was there anything about IKEA in particular? Or was it just because your girlfriend was maybe a little gulagged?
Yeah, she had some fun.
She what?
She had some fun.
She had some fun.
I got to be honest, I'm not sure that's IKEA's fault.
No. It's just an IKEA nightmare.
It's what you remember. You totally associate IKEA with your girlfriend being drunk. Well, still, it's great entry-level stuff, and it looks really cool, but it doesn't come without its challenges.
Oh, there are challenges, for sure, mm-hmm, but, you know,
going to IKEA, bring a meal. Pack a lunch.
Maybe it's just, I don't know if it's our generation more so, or it's just the younger generations, like Kang's generation and those before him, and Bobby's generation. If people are more inclined, and I think it's true, people are just more inclined to buy stuff online. Whereas I need to go, if it's furniture, I have to go and see it. I have to go and see it, sit in it, feel it, touch it, the whole bit. I have to. Because I don't want to end up in a situation where I'm like, well, that's not at all what I expected. But more and more, we are becoming absolutely an online society. We're an Amazon society.
Now, yeah, but even when you go to IKEA, Gator, it looks so good there. They do a great job of staging.
They do a fantastic job. They're experts. It's
that
staging.
Kitchen looks awesome. Yeah. That kitchen looks like, oh, that desk area looks, that's a home office right there. I could use that.
And when you're checking out and they say, well, do you want somebody to, do you want our installers to install it for you? The answer should always be yes. Because they'll do it correctly.
Yeah, but you're there to save money. So the next thing is, I'll do it myself.
That's where, somehow, some way, our gender takes over. I'm like, I got this.
Yeah.
I got this.
And if you ever want to get in a fight with your wife, build furniture together.
Yeah, 100%.
That's called for, like, bringing the divorce lawyer. But
that was an interesting combination of expletives I did not see coming.
Why are you guys getting divorced? We tried to put together a nightstand.
Yeah. Why are you guys getting divorced?
Not financial, not cheating.
Yeah. I've seen it before.
IKEA. Got it.
248-539-9797. All right, Pistons make a signing today. What does it mean? What's going to happen next? We will get to that coming up at 1120 on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines, 248-539-9797. It's an interesting day with the Detroit Pistons as they probably are going to be bidding farewell to Tobias Harris with the signing of John Collins, or it could be a sign and trade. We're still trying to figure that out. We're waiting on the reporting. But John Collins signs today, a true stretch for a reliable shooter. He's good for spacing, gets a 3-year, $51 million deal. Only the first year is guaranteed. So an average of $17 million per. Tobias last year made 26.6. Tobias turns 34 on July 15th. Collins turns 29 in September. Collins averaged 13.6 points, 5.3 rebounds, and shot 40% from three for LA last season. And it sure looks like he was brought in to replace Tobias. Shams actually tweeted out he was pursued as a starting four. So that goes down today, which mostly that seems to be getting thumbs up from Piston fans. Jalen Duren continues the hire me tour out west in Sacramento and LA. He appears to be seeking the max that those teams could offer, 44.25, restricted free agent, which means any offer he gets in free agency, the team that he's coming from has the right to just say, we'll pay you that, and you stay with the team. The Pistons, when they say far apart, okay, it feels like the Pistons are probably low 30s, 30 to 35 in terms of the annual of what they offered. Remember that by being named all NBA, that made Duren eligible for the Supermax, which would have been $57 million per season. We had people screaming, he's not worth the max, he's not worth the max, and apparently the Pistons agree with you and aren't going to offer the max. Duren might be mad about an offer that's that far below the max and less than other teams can offer, and he might just be on the warpath trying to get out of Detroit. And I don't, look, that's, you shouldn't get your feelings hurt in business. You shouldn't. Because it's quite possible the Pistons are going to match whatever any other team, and that's their plan all along. But they're like, okay, we don't know what other teams would offer, so we don't want to pay them more than we need to keep them. So let's come up with a lowball number and let him seek an amount. And if he gets an offer, we'll just match it and keep him. Now there's the sign and trade possibility, which is how other teams could make sure they get him, is here's what we'll give you, Detroit, if you sign him and trade him to us. And with Sacramento, it might be Sabonis, it might be something else. With Detroit, or with the Lakers, it could be first round picks. Anyway, this is a total season overhaul for a team that finished first in the East and had 60 wins. I would argue that this is way more than anybody expected as far as turnover, roster turnover. Isaiah Stewart's gone. Duncan and Tobias, both starters. Tobias probably gone. Duncan very well might be gone. Duren could be gone. They brought in Isaiah Joe. They bring back Kevin Huerter. They draft Ibaka, Okorie. Like, this is a dramatic roster shift, which I think is more than most people expected. Do you approve? Do you approve of this offseason? Gator, your thoughts?
Yeah, I do. To this point, I want another big piece coming here, though, because what they haven't done yet is gotten that number two scorer. They haven't done that yet. What they've done is effectively looks like they're going to replace guys. So Isaiah Joe, is that replaced Duncan Robinson? You know, Collins replaces Tobias. Okay. But where's the number two scorer? Is that still to come? Is that, are the Pistons going to be in on Jaylen Brown? Is it possible still in on Trey Murphy? Is it somebody else? Michael Porter Jr. Is there somebody else that they're going to get? And it feels like there should be something big. If the Pistons were in on Austin Reeves, knowing that they were going to re-sign all along Jalen Duren, then there's clearly money out there that they have stashed aside to take on a big contract. So who's that player going to be? And it remains to be seen. I'm curious about it. But Trajan Langdon is true to form. He's got his core group as three players. Cade Cunningham, number one with a bullet. Asar Thompson, one of the best defensive players in the league. And Jaylen Duren, a young center that is and has gotten better every year. Bad postseason for Jaylen Duren aside, they want him here long term. And they're going to end up likely ending up agreeing to a contract with him. It's the other pieces that have changed. And you're right about this. The team's identity is totally going to change. You hope that toughness doesn't, and yet when you're letting Isaiah Stewart go, wait a minute. That's like one of your toughest guys that you just let walk. That's going to be difficult. But if you're adding the ball handlers and the shooters like you said you were going to, it's just that's the NBA, right? You tried it with the toughness, and that they got you 60 wins in the regular season, but almost got you ousted in the first round and got you ousted in the second round because you didn't have enough. So the way to go about it, maybe they're saying, is to pivot and go with that route of adding more shooters. But they need another real scoring threat, I think, to truly be on par with some of these other teams in the East right now.
The work doesn't feel done yet. But do you approve so far? Our approval rating on our Twitter poll, 76.6% say they approve, 23.4% say they don't approve. Feedback coming in, and we're reading these comments from Twitter, and a lot of people have. Alex writes in, if you told me this was to improve their bench, sure. I'm not seeing a formidable starting five. Probably not yet. Probably got to land another significant starter. Tom tweets us, I still want /need a true Robin to Cade's Batman. He makes that move and Trajan becomes the top GM in this city. Bobby tweets us, we'll see. I like Collins, but as others have said, there needs to be more. I hope we keep Duren, but if not, there better be a really, really good backup plan. Josh says, just feels like we will regret not having Duren if we don't keep him. From C. Fritz, why are people pretending he is lost? He wants more than the restricted max. That's why he wants a sign and trade. He wants closer to the supermax. How is no one noticing this? Why are people pretending he's lost? He wants more than the restricted max.
Well, he's not going to get more than
he can't unless Detroit just offers it on their own.
Right. So if there's a sign and trade, the best he can do is the $177 million.
The 44.25, that's the most you can get in a sign and trade. Jay Scott says, until I see a number two, there's no way I could approve. We don't even have a number three. Jacob, so far I'm liking these moves, but I'm definitely hoping for more. If they're going to try and win a title, so far these are better on the margin types of moves. Jason, I don't think it changes anything if they still have to be. I think they still have to be a regular season try-hard team. They'll fade in the playoffs yet again. Well, look, I mean, one of the reasons I think people approve is because they think something else is coming. And at this point, I don't know if there's any way to assume otherwise. They're probably waiting to see what happens with Duren. If they come back with Duren, Collins, a Sarcade, and who's the other starter? I guess if they don't lose Duncan, that's their starting five.
Is it Joe?
Could be Joe. Is that team better? Well, Duren at 22 has a chance to improve. Asar has a chance to improve. I like the Trajan or the Tobias for Collins flip flop.
Mm-hmm.
I like the bench better. So I do think they're a better team. Now, it doesn't feel like they've had that doesn't feel like they would have added, though, a true.
That's adding through the margins, right?
Yep. You hope that your young players are all going to get better, your big three. You probably made a bit of an upgrade at the four.
And your bench is going to be better. Interesting because, I mean, if Danis Jenkins can take another step in his journey to becoming an NBA player, then that'd be great. If Okori, the rookie,
mm-hmm.
you know, hits the ground running, I don't expect him to be, you know, all-star caliber by any means. But if he's a guy that can give you 20 minutes off the bench, that would be massive. If he's a 20-minute-a-game guy as a rookie, that'd be sweet.
Meanwhile, it won't be Norman Powell, who agreed to a 2-year, $45 million contract with Chicago. Gator, I know that disappoints you.
A little bit. I mean, I did like the name Powell.
Who is the wide receiver with that name?
Brandon Powell.
I thought for sure you were just going to say Powell.
Yeah, but it works too.
Yeah.
Look, Norman Powell is an excellent shooter. It would have been nice, but that's expensive. And they got Isaiah Joe for how much?
2 second-round picks.
Yeah. And his cost is, what, $11 million a year?
Yes.
Okay. That works for me. And now you got Collins for cheap. And I just, in the aggregate, I think that this works out better. We'll see what else they do. If they add Tyler Herro, if they get in the mix for him, I know he was just traded as part of that big Giannis trade, but all the reporting is that he could be had. If the Pistons go out and get Tyler Herro as their last add, in addition to Jalen Duren, is that enough to say that's a big offseason, or is that just...
Then you're looking like a team that is going to have formidable perimeter shooting with Cade. I mean, formidable perimeter shooting. 248-539-9797. Do you approve? We need to carve out some time to appreciate something that's happened the last 2 days. We'll get to that today at 11:35. And are you going to eat that coming up in about an hour's time on 97.1? Feedback coming in. I love what the Pistons are doing so far. Just to the fact that they aren't just running it back and hoping to do better. Rather, make a big swing and miss than just stand there watching, really hoping they get another star, though. Well, they're trying to. I mean, if you think about it, who have we heard them associated with? Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Jaylen Brown. These are some of the bigger names in the game that are kind of, some of them are falling off the board, but you know, those reports might not be accurate, but it really does seem like there's a lot of credible reporting that have linked Detroit to some of the bigger names in the game. So now big names don't always equate to wins. Big names don't always make it the smartest move. But people wanted Detroit teams to take big swings. This is a team that's positioned themselves to take a big swing. They haven't executed said swing yet, have they? But they are positioned to do it.
Well, we think they're in a position to do it.
That's why I kind of don't want to get disappointed. Like, as of right now, you're asking me, do I approve of what Trajan Langdon's done, Doug?
Yep.
And I say yes, because I think he's gotten better at multiple positions. I'm including Jalen Duren is still on the team, and B-Ball Paul is the backup center. But with that said, I look at the roster right now, they still haven't addressed really the number one need for me in the offseason was find a number two scorer that can create his own shot. John Collins, I like him. Upgrade over Tobias, in my opinion, cannot create his own shot. If you bring Jalen Duren back, we know he cannot create his own shot. Asar Thompson, still working on that offensive game. Isaiah Joe, sniper. but not a guy who creates his own shot. It's just Cade Cunningham. And the only guy who might be able to create his own shot is Okoro, and he's a rookie. And so we really don't know how much time he's going to get and how fast he can develop. So if it's not a trade for like a Trey Murphy and those other guys, or is it LeBron? Is he a dream? Or is there any chance of LeBron? Or is it some, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know who else. Is it Tyler Hero? But they've got to get somebody else, I think, to relieve some of that scoring off Cade. I mean, they've gotten better everywhere else, but just like, this doesn't fill that need.
I would argue if they bring back Durin, on paper, it feels to me like a better roster. What I don't know is if this totally personality revamp is going to work with Cade's game. I hope it does. I think it does. We all assume it does. But they've played one style of basketball for a couple seasons now, and they're kind of changing. And that might come with some growing pains that we hope that the output, when it's all said and done, is better. And on paper, it feels like it would be. With floor spacers, Cade would be able to do more.
I would think this too, though, because it does look like they're changing what their identity is, but they're not asking the same guys to do the changing, right? It's one thing if you've got the same group of guys and go into the office and go, okay, look, fellas, we tried last year, we were big and tough, and it just didn't work. We're gonna have to be better shooters, and you're asking the same group of guys to be better shooters. That's not what's happened here. They've changed those players that already are better shooters to bring them in, so this team will be a better shooting team. I think that's an easier way to get to it than, you know, trying to force a square peg in a round hole.
All right, we'll get back to your phone calls in a moment. I said we need to carve out some time to appreciate something that's happened the last 2 days. 7-1-0-0-0-10.
That was pretty good.
Then 6-1-2-1-0-9.
Niner, you're supposed to say.
Niner. That is innings pitch, hits, runs, earned runs, walks, and strikeouts for Tigers starting pitching the last 2 days. Casey Mize went 7 innings, gave up 1 hit, no runs, of course, none earned, no walks, 10 strikeouts. One day later, Tarek Skubal, 6 innings pitched, 1 hit, 2 runs, 1 earned, no walks, 9 strikeouts.
Amazing.
No walks, 19 strikeouts over 13 innings from the Tiger starters the last 2 games. Behold the last 2 days of starting pitching.
Wildly impressive and sets the tone for a potential sweep this afternoon. Troy Melton takes the hill, and he has been as good as those guys all season long too. Mm-hmm. Although his season has been a little more truncated because of injuries, but I guess more along the lines of what Skubal has been, but he's been better. His ERA is 2.3 this year. And Melton's coming off a hell of a start where I think he only gave up a hit his last start. What's happened here with the starting pitching has been brilliant, and it's a reason that there's still a chance. It's a shred of a chance for this team, I guess, to make the playoffs. But, you know, they've got this rotation's outstanding. They've got an overflow in the rotation right now because people are getting healthier. And now Cater Montero is the odd man out, so he'll be pitching out of the bullpen, but not a move to the bullpen necessarily, which is what A.J. Hinch said this morning, which was kind of cool to hear. But it's not just been that the Tigers' pitching has been great. The Tigers' hitters the last 2 games have really come alive. I mentioned yesterday that a lineup that won the first game, the Casey Mize start, that scored 7 runs. I mean, that was a horrible lineup. But they all performed. Last night, the team bangs out 4 more home runs to tie the team record for any month in the team's history. I think it's 49 home runs. They go back and tie the team from 1937 when Rudy York hit 18 home runs in one of those months. It's been amazing what this team has done. And you're looking at it, and it's a guy like James Outman hit his 3rd home run, and it was like a no-doubter. And James Outman now, 3 home runs in a matter of, 4 weeks of playing on this team? His OPS on the season is approaching 800?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Who? What? And you look at this team, they've got 5 guys on the team, 5 regulars in the lineup last night. They have OPS over 800. They've got some hitters.
They have some characteristics of a team that should be damn good, and they're not.
Like, absolutely.
They might have four All-Stars and be one of the worst teams in the American League record-wise.
Yeah, I mean, going into last night's game, I think they were still the only team they were ahead of was Kansas City in the entire American League. But this is how jumbled things are in the American League. You've got a couple of really good teams, and then there's everybody else. Well, the Tigers have just beaten one of those really good teams two games in a row and have a chance to sweep them. Albeit, Yankees are dealing with their share of injuries. So are the Tigers, mm-hmm. with 10 players on a 60-day DL. But so I'm not going to squash what they've done over the last 2 days. It's just, it's incredible. And you look at the margins of what's happened here in some of these losses. The Tigers lead the league and the Tigers have the worst record in games where they've lost by two runs or less. They've had more of those than any other team in baseball. It's frustrating as hell because you see the potential of what this team can be, and it starts with this outstanding rotation, and then it just kind of falls flat. It's Jekyll or Hyde, hit or miss when it comes to the lineup, and same thing with the bullpen.
We'll hear the best of what A.J. Hinch had to tell our morning show next hour, including his thoughts on the trade deadline. Let's go to Antonio and Mount Clemens. You're next on 97.1. Hello, Antonio.
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's up?
So I don't have anything like over the top to say, but I did want to say I do think all of the signings this summer fits with K's play style. Might open up the floor for him way more and limit turnovers. I think John Collins was a great addition because he can play like a small ball five, usually a power forward, but he was a great lob threat the last time he played with an elite playmaking guard for extensive minutes in Trae Young. And then he's added to his game to stretch the floor, which is a dynamic that Cade doesn't get to play with often because like while Stu increased his game to shooting, he wasn't like a knockdown shooter or a consistent threat beyond the arc. And while Paul Reed can hit some shots, he didn't get enough minutes to help alleviate some of the like trapping pressure off of pick and roll that Cade needed. But I also didn't like the Stu trade as much, considering we hadn't known what was going to go on with Durin yet. And now with him kind of having the team in limbo between giving him the offer he wants and trading him, I'm hoping maybe we can trade him to a team that has options that we like a Trey Murphy if he wants to talk to trade.
I'll start with this. Antonio, Gator has a saying he uses here on the air all the time. Don't be afraid to trade in the good for the great. I don't think there's any question that they could have done their best to keep the band back together and come back next year and been very competitive. But that does not look like what Trajan Langdon is planning on doing. On paper, Antonio, this feels like it's going to open up the floor even more for Cade. But it until we see it work, there's no guarantees. There are no guarantees.
No.
They've revamped their personality is what it feels like. In the meantime, there is breaking news from the league that probably seriously impacts what happens next for Detroit. We'll get to that today at 11:46. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1. That the Lakers are out of the Jalen Durin sweepstakes. Multiple reporters now saying the Utah Jazz are trading center Walker Kessler to the Lakers for a package of draft picks that includes a 2031 unprotected, 2033 unprotected first round pick, and 28 and 30 pick swaps. So the Lakers appear to have the center position pretty much wrapped up. There was some tangential reporting to Mark Stein, one of his guys, saying that, was it Boston was interested in Durin or Durin was interested in Boston?
That Durin would be interested in Boston. Well, Boston just signed Mitchell Robinson.
So
went from the Knicks to the Celtics.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's going to sit really well with Knicks fans, but who cares? They won a championship.
Does it feel as though the possible landing spots for Jalen Duren are starting to dry up. Now, that doesn't mean Sacramento won't make an offer.
Or that somebody else springs up and says, wait a minute, the Lakers are out. We want in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just down to Sactown. And if it is, I'd be curious to see what their offer is. But if Sacramento doesn't put forth an offer to Jalen Duren's liking, then it's it goes back to the Pistons. Or even if he puts, even if they put up an offer to his liking, the Pistons are just going to match it. He's going to be a Piston. Will he be a disgruntled Piston or not? I guess that's the question.
How mad can he be if they paid the top offer that another team offered? I mean, I guess he could be mad because he wanted more than the max of what another team could offer, but the market's kind of drying up here a little bit for him.
Well, it's also speaking what the market is, okay? If you, maybe your agent said, let's just explore this, try to get more money out of it than what the Pistons have initially offered, and then you go out and you realize, okay, well, the market dictated that it wasn't as good as we thought it was. Probably still better than what the Pistons offered, but who knows? We'll find out what this is whenever when the dust settles on all this. But I would tell Jalen Duren, if I were Trajan Langdon or part of the Pistons organization, when they finally do hammer out a deal with him, say, look, dude, you're getting paid a lot of money here for 4 years. We're going to give you a 4-year deal or 5-year deal, whichever deal it is, for probably somewhere between $140 and $160 million. And understand that if it's 4 years, you'll be 26 when this deal is done. And if you improve like we think you will, and like you think you will, and like you want to bet on yourself that you're going to improve, your contract when you're 26 is going to be in the $300 million range. So it's all good. In the meantime, you'll live with $150 million over 4 years or whatever, and let's move on. Let's go.
Kang, what do you make of this?
I think Jalen Duren's going to be a Piston whether he likes it or not, because I don't think there's going to be any teams left, and I don't think anyone's going to offer him more than what the Pistons are going to offer him. And I think he found out maybe the hard way, you know? And I'm not saying he did. Listen, you want to find out what you're worth. If you're genuinely insulted or you think, hey, that's lower offer than I think I'm worth, then go explore. But I think the market has spoken. I mean, there was a rumor that the Lakers said that to Jalen during their meeting that, hey, we think you're a max player. And then they went and called Walker Kessler? Like, what's that about, you know? So who knows what's going on here? Boston, like you said, Gator, just found Mitchell Robinson for a lot cheaper. Sacramento is, they're going to have to force the Pistons to take Sabonis. And if they don't want Sabonis, that deal just ain't getting done. What team left is there out there? I think, if anything, Trajan Langdon, he played this so perfectly. I wonder if he could even go lower than what he offered. I don't think he would, but you know what I mean? At that point, he's like, hey, yesterday's offer isn't today's offer. You went out there and got no offers?
Let me be clear here. I was laughing at that, but I was laughing because it'd be funny if that's the end result, because it's the exact opposite of what we thought would happen. And, oh, by the way, the exact opposite of what people's fears were about him getting the max. I want Jalen Duren to get everything he's worth. Like, he's been a good Piston, and, you know, but it's possible that his worth either A, wasn't what he or many of us thought it was going to be, or B, really got dinged by the postseason performance. And yeah, at 26, you know, if he's the centerpiece and one of the cornerstones of a championship team and hits free agency at 26, Detroit could say, look, there's a good chance we won't be able to afford you then, but let's go win some rings between now and then, and you'll have another shot at this.
A little bit of injury news with the Tigers. It's not good. The Tigers today placed right-hand pitcher Will Vest on the 15-day injured list, retroactive to June 28th, with a posterior right elbow inflammation. Right-hand pitcher Bo Brisky has been recalled from AAA Toledo. That's from Tigers PR.
Okay.
So just a little note. The bullpen, which has been erratic to say the least, including Will Vest, but now he's out with a elbow inflammation.
Feedback coming into the inbox here. I love what the Pistons are doing so far. Just the fact that they aren't just running it back. Oh, sorry, I already read that one. Let Duren walk. He vanished in the playoffs and isn't worth a max contract. Okay, whoever sent this, the Pistons have offered well below a max contract. So when you say let Duren walk, he did vanish in the playoffs. He wasn't the player that he was.
He was half the man he was.
But are you convinced that that's who he's always going to be? And third, no, he isn't worth the max contract, and they didn't offer that. They offered well below it. IKEA furniture cannot get wet at all, and it can never be moved, but it's a cheap solution for a relatively short-term use.
Yeah, the stuff that I have that has been there forever, it is anchored into a wall. Mm-hmm. There is a different top on it. There's a granite top that we had put on there when they did the renovation. So,
IKEA, to me, good idea until we got to the top of the escalator and I realized I had to walk a mile and a half before I got to the Swedish meatballs. Got some bookcases for my vinyl. That's about it. Had them a long time. Solid. And some champagne flutes we used for a wedding many years ago. Good enough. Nice. That's from Eric in Bloomfield.
I mean, I've liked it. I've only been there two or three times in person. I've only walked out of there purchasing stuff once, but the other two times just looking around. I enjoyed it.
IKEA-related question. Do you guys keep all the Allen wrenches from all the things you've built? I think I have over 100 Allen wrenches. That's from Scott.
I'm like that, too. I don't get it. Like, it's not like but I put them in like a Ziploc bag.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
In case of what? I don't know. In case I need 100 Allen wrenches.
It's funny because you will find uses for the Allen wrench. Like, how am I supposed to screw this? Oh, it's an Allen wrench. Like, whether it's like a faucet or something like that, there's always something there. But yeah, you got to save the Allen wrenches. Having guitars come with Allen wrenches all the time.
Keep them all?
Yeah. So I probably have, somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 Allen wrenches.
You don't need 150.
I don't. Probably I don't.
None of us do.
But most guitars come with them. So it's, 25 times however many Allen wrenches you get in each set. Yeah.
248-539-9797. So lots going on this morning. Pistons signed John Collins, stretch four, reliable shooter, younger player than Tobias, cheaper player than Tobias, better shooter than Tobias, different player than Tobias, but Unk looks like his time in Detroit is done, and the market might be drying up for Jalen Duren as centers have signed in Boston and L.A., the Lakers. We'll see if Sacramento comes with something, but I always felt all along, Scott, that if Duren was going to go in a sign-and-trade, it would be more likely to go to L.A. for draft picks and cap space and maybe Rui, or some connection to LeBron, whatever. But the Sacramento thing seems like more of a stretch to me. But we'll see how it plays itself out. I really, really, really would be thrilled to get him back at a Piston-friendly price.
Yeah, I don't want Sabonis.
You don't?
No. So if my choice is Duren or Sabonis, I want Duren. I want the 22-year-old that has all the potential to get better and better and better as opposed to Sabonis, who's defined. He's a good center, but I think there's a chance that Duren ends up being leaps and bounds better.
Kang, you want Sabonis or Duren here?
I would rather have Sabonis, but I don't think the Pistons want Sabonis at all. So I don't think it's even like, don't worry, Gator, you're getting Duren. I think that the age is a factor, obviously coming off the injury year. But I think overall his skill set is just, I guess the question is really, Doug, what you're asking is, can Duren get to where you be? You know what I mean? How much can he grow? Can he get to, what's his ceiling and can he get there? I don't know if he can get there. That's why I hold back on that.
Do you approve of this offseason so far? Pistons, man, let me tell you something. They really have done what seems like some smart moves on the margins, and yet Duren might be coming back at their price. And you wonder if that their price leaves the door open for something bigger to happen. Blake sent us a tweet. Duren can't be here. Well, guess what? He might be. He might be. Jacob says it's fine enough a start, but they still need to add someone who can play the two, who can handle the ball. Matt says need to do more. Go vote and comment on our Twitter poll. Do you approve so far of the offseason and all that has happened? 248-539-9797. Talk some Tigers next hour. Also another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That coming up today at 12:35. Tiger baseball this afternoon in New York trying to sweep the Yankees. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.